Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to always be attentive to your presence. Help us to be able to name the moments where you have come near. Help us to be on the lookout the places that you seek to encounter us. And thank you for these moments together in worship as the people of God, for it is here that you have promised to meet us. Meet us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to begin, first of all, by thanking you. By thanking you for the incredible love and care that you have given to Heidi in my absence this past week. I cannot begin to tell you what a huge help it has been. From the phone calls to the loving cards that she's received in the mail to the visits that you've made to go and sit with her and have conversation to the incredible food. The food has been so good. I'm thinking of breaking my own leg. Oh, it's just delightful. An abundance of generosity. And it has been such a gift. And I know that it means a tremendous amount to Heidi. And so I thank you all for that. And I think it's apropos, as I shared in This Week at Bethel, that this week, our lesson is about hospitality. And you have been hospitable to us in our time of need. And it is yet another example of the way God has given us this gift of hospitality to be something that is a gift to the world, to help others feel more comfortable in the midst of a difficult situation, or to feel a sense of ease amidst pain and suffering. And you have done that for us, I thank you. As I think about this idea of hospitality, I'm reminded of the trip that I went on to the first time I went to Germany. It was at the very end of my internship here, and I went to visit our sister congregation. We had a congregation that was our sister church for my internship congregation in Spornitz, Germany. And so I went along with people from the congregation on a visit to that church, and one of the neat aspects of the trip is that we stayed with host families. Now, I do not speak German. I know a few words. And as I went over there, I stayed with a family that spoke no English for 10 days. So there was a bit of apprehension when I first went in there. And I went and sat down with family. Now, fortunately, there was a son-in-law who spoke a little bit of English and a lot of German. So he was kind of the translator for us. But let me tell you about their hospitality. It was unbelievable. I got there. They sat down. They had this wonderful meal for us to enjoy. The food was magnificent. If not, it was certainly not, it would not have been helpful if I went there on a diet. Okay? It was that rich, that kind of food. It was so good. And as we sat down to eat around a meal, we parted having conversation. Having conversation and German beverage, if you get my drift. And it was wonderful, so much so that at some point in the evening, I mentioned that I would like to have some Lederhosen. Okay? You guys know what Lederhosen is? It's the stuff that you wear. Well, I was talking to them about that, and the husband who was in the part of the house, who was my host family husband, he asked him what he did for a living, and he said he was a cowboy. I was like, oh, really? They have cowboys in Germany? I had no idea. Well, it turns out he's a milkman. And so his term for me was he's a cowboy. I thought that was interesting. So he had plenty of Lederhosen because he had to go out and milk the cows in the morning and then take them around. And so he went out and got me authentic Lederhosen. Not like something you'd buy. This was handmade Lederhosen that I still have to this day. And throughout that time in Germany, this family that I spoke no German, they spoke no English, they were just so loving and hospitable that it set me at ease, and it still remains to this day one of the most wonderful experiences of my life. So much so that later on in my life, as Heidi and I were living in Cincinnati, we had an opportunity to kind of return the favor, not exactly the same way, but in a similar fashion. You see, There was, have you heard of these companies, these door-to-door salesmen, these college students that sell like educational materials door-to-door? Has anybody ever come to your house? Well, we had them come in Cincinnati, and it was these two young Latvian girls, all right? And we started talking to them as they were trying to sell us these books. And I said, well, how did you come over here? Did you come over here on a program? They said, yes. And I said, oh, so where are you staying? And it turns out they were staying in a house not far from us. And I was like, oh, that's great. So how did you get hooked up with that host family? And this is literally what happened. They came here on a plane ticket, came to Cincinnati, and then started going door to door looking for a place to stay. Talk about trusting hospitality. And Cincinnati, I did not live in the best area of town. I mean, I lived in a nice area, but I didn't live far from a pretty rough neighborhood. And they were staying not too far from it. Can you imagine just walking around, knocking on doors, and saying, hi, we're from Latvia. Can you host us for the summer? How many of you would have said, absolutely, come on. But this one woman did. It's amazing that God be praised. And so I found all this out. Well, the next thing you know, they get everywhere on bikes. They work, 12 hours a day selling materials, and then they go home and make money. Or they make money and they go home at the end of the summer. Well, it turns out that they were supposed to be selling in a part of Cincinnati that was very difficult to get to, especially on a bike. And so for over about 6 weeks, we invited them to come to our house every morning, and we would drive them over to the place they were supposed to work for the day. Because it would have been just crazy trying to do all that. It was inconvenient to do that, but we felt like because of wonderful hospitality that we had received, this was a way that we could help them to this day. And lo and behold, when Facebook became a big deal, they looked us up on Facebook. Can you believe it? Yeah, those kind of connections that you make with hospitality. So I think that as we read this lesson for today, it's important to remember that hospitality in that time and that period was so important. Taking people in, especially if they were a stranger, being willing to open yourselves up to that. I mean, it seems kind of crazy to our modern ears. I mean, it's very rarely do we even stop for a hitchhiker anymore, right? We've seen too many horrible horror movies that make the hitchhiker the bad person, And it's very difficult to even think about doing that. However, in that society then, that was very real. Hospitality was a huge part of loving your neighbor. If you were a God-fearing person, you were hospitable. And so as we look at our reading today, Martha is, being a God-fearing person. Jesus comes in and she starts working to be the best hostess she can be. We would miss the mark if we think this is somehow, this text is a denigration of that. Because it's not. Being hospitable, being wonderful hosts, inviting people into a place where they feel more comfortable. That is a real gift from God that God has allowed us to do. However, what this text is about is something entirely different. You see, it is my belief that I think most people know the difference between right and wrong. We might not always choose the right path. But I think most people know the difference between right and wrong. Where it gets tricky is the difference between good and bad. Right? Between that which is good and meaningful and that which is perhaps most holy. And that is what our text is about today. It's about teaching us not that hospitality is bad and Martha was just so distracted that she couldn't see the forest with trees. Maybe that was true. It's not to denigrate what Martha was doing. It was to highlight what Mary was doing. Mary chose, as our text tells us, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear from him. And Jesus says she has chosen not the good part, the right part, versus the wrong part. She has chosen what? The text says. The better part. The better part. And that ultimately, as we seek to follow Christ, choosing the better part can sometimes be difficult. Because there's so many things in our lives that are valuable and holy and meaningful that we give all of our energy to. And sometimes forget just to sit at the foot of Christ. We give our heart and soul to, you know, as a pastor, this is very real for us. You know, we spend our time being holy, right? Yeah. And then don't find time for prayer. Huh. You know, Martin Luther had a great quote. You probably heard it. Where he said, I don't know if he had a calendar, but he looked at his calendar, looked at whatever he had to do that day. He realized he had so much to do that he needed to go spend a couple of hours in prayer. How many of you would do that when you got to work? Well, would your boss even let you do that? But you know, regardless, assuming you had the time and you said, oh my gosh, there's no way I can get in everything I need to do today. I need to spend a couple hours in prayer to give me fuel source for that. That would seem crazy, wouldn't it? Yeah. I saw a cartoon one time where a pastor was in his office and, you know, kneeling and praying, and the secretary, and this doesn't happen here, just so you know, and the administrator comes in and looks in and goes, oh good, you're not busy. And so, as we think about this reading, I think the real teaching for us is particularly this, that what are those wonderfully holy, meaningful things that we give our energy to that is important for the kingdom of God, yet sometimes can get in the way of simply listening to Jesus? Whether it's through prayer or devotion, devotions, or maybe for you it's just sitting quietly and listening to some wonderful Christian music that speaks to your heart or soul. Whatever it is, Jesus is calling us to be reminded of the importance of sitting at his feet. Particularly for all of us in this busy, busy world. Where do we find time just to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words of love for you? His words of grace, his words of comfort, his words of hope, his word of promise and wisdom. When we were at Power in the Spirit, I had to take on some of the things that Heidi does. And she was supposed to lead a service on stretch and pray. You probably have heard of that, stretching and praying. It was supposedly there were a lot of people going to it. They were very disappointed that Heidi wasn't there and that I was there. So I said, well, okay, I kind of got shamed into doing an early Saturday morning worship service at 7 a.m. And so I did, and it was supposed to be a stretch and pray service. So I said, okay, we'll do that. We'll do stretch and pray. So everybody showed up, and I said, okay, we're going to do stretch and pray. You ready? I'm stretching, and I'm praying that I get to my text. And we had devotion. And as we had devotion, we talked about Jesus finding that moment in Mark chapter 1 where Jesus finds there's all this activity, and then there's a one verse where Jesus went off by himself to pray. And I shared that, where do we find those moments in our lives? And so I suggested they do something that I'm going to suggest that we do. Because, and as it was said afterwards, he said, it really was stretching prayer. You stretched us beyond our comfort zone. As we sought to pray. So what we're going to do, I know that it's busy, I know it's a crazy life for all of you in so many ways, but what I'm going to ask you to do now is to stretch. Not literally, but perhaps figuratively and emotionally and spiritually. I'm going to ask you to be quiet for a minute. As a community of faith, we're just going to be silent. And we're going to just sit at the foot cross. Sit at the foot of Jesus. Listen for what he might have to say. Close your eyes. Pray a prayer. But as a community of faith, let's do this. Because in the midst of our crazy life, we need this. We need moments at the foot of Jesus to hear what Jesus has to say to us and to hear how Jesus will shape our life anew. So let us enter now into a time of silence together. In Jesus' name, amen.